Welcome to Missouri Corn Talk, your go-to weekly agriculture podcast delivering fast, reliable updates on market development efforts, ethanol demand, and the issues shaping today's corn industry. I'm your host, David Geiger. Recently, Missouri corn growers had the opportunity to hear a state of the industry update from a trusted voice in agricultural economics. And joining us today is that person, Ben Brown, an extension specialist with the University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, also known as FAPRI. He recently spoke to Missouri corn growers about that current ag economy, market pressures, and what producers should be watching in the months ahead. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today on Missouri Corn Talk. And going off of that, you recently shared that state of the industry update. Stepping back, how would you summarize it?
Sure. And first, thanks for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. The way I describe the state of our ag industry in Missouri right now is mixed to start off with. The reason I say that is because in Missouri, we have a number of operations that are still rather diversified in terms of their operational makeup. And so for those operations, we're using some of the strong receipts that we've seen in the livestock space to kind of help provide the cash flow needed for our row crop sector. Of course, that is not true of everywhere in Missouri. The second way I describe our industry is exhausted. Corn producers especially are exhausted from multiple years of little to no relief from relatively high farm input prices in the face of low incomes. They just have not reset in the face of these challenging finances. The third way I describe it is uncertain about our future. We continue to see a lot of shifts in policy, especially around trade policy and increases and removals of tariff rates with trading partners that cloud our outlook. I also think they're frustrated. Multiple years here now of being so close on getting E15 as a national accepted policy, allowing consumers to have that provision year round and it being known well before the summer driving season starts. Last year, it came out at the end of 2024 as a part of the continuing resolution process. This year, it looked like all the support was there to get it included in the appropriations process, but was taken out in the last final moments. I would also say they're worried about growing competition, primarily in the Southern Hemisphere, in places like Argentina and Brazil, where we continue to see growth in their terms of acreage and then also yielding potential. And amongst all those things, which is a lot, I do still think that Missouri producers remain cautiously hopeful for better times tomorrow. Agriculture producers believe in the future, and at least in my impressions, they still have that sense that there is going to be better times to come down the pike.
What are you seeing on demand aspects of corn then that growers should be paying close attention to in 2026?
As I think about where we're seeing the biggest changes in quantity demanded for our current space, I do think it comes in the export market. 2 years ago, when I was starting to talk to producers about, you know, where we could see additional demand for our product, it was in this export space that I felt was an opportunity from the standpoint that a lot of countries around the world were increasing their own domestic policies around corn use. And there just wasn't the available supply of corn in these external international markets. And we've seen that kind of play dividends for us here in 25 heading into 2026. You know, if you take the United States and China out of the picture, which those are the two largest countries in terms of corn supplies, and most of that is held within China, the rest of the world is at the tightest supply of corn availability since 1998, 1999, a period that was also supportive of very strong corn demand from the United States as well. And we've seen all of our usage categories see strength here as of late. And certainly as I think about where they could go forward, I see them having the stability underneath them or the tailwinds behind them to maintain some of these elevated levels that we're seeing.
On the topic of exports, we know USDA projected a record corn crop for Missouri as well as nationwide. And there's been a lot of volatility after that. When you look at supply pressure and the signs of better corn crops out there, alongside what you just mentioned about exports, what's your takeaway?
I would first say that I am relieved that markets, especially in the corn space, are acting like we economists would expect, right? You get large supplies, lower prices. It is reassuring to see quantity demanded pick up. And that's a good sign. We don't see that in all of our markets. In some of our ag markets right now, you know, prices have fallen in some cases double digits, and we're seeing flat to even decreasing quantity demand. That is not the case in the corn space. And that's a good sign, right? And I think that has to be something that corn producers have to feel confident in as well, because what that means is that even if we do have some challenges either here in the United States or in South America with production in the year ahead, or even 2 years down the road, you know, we could see a pretty strong increase in our corn prices.
As growers look ahead to the coming year, what is a piece of advice you want to leave folks, especially when dealing with the uncertainty that's going on in the current political and economic climate?
I'm going to say practice flexibility. It takes practice to maintain flexibility within your operating plans, within your marketing plans, and in terms of how you make business decisions moving forward, thinking about strategic opportunities for the farm. It takes practice to maintain that flexibility. And then just to piggyback on that, embracing an options thinking mindset. What do I mean by an options thinking mindset? Well, don't be investing in assets that only have one particular use, or, you know, try to find markets and opportunities that have multiple different buyers.
As we know, a rapidly changing environment in modern agriculture also means a farmer is expected to do a lot more than he normally could do. You could be the best farmer in the world, plant the best crops in the world, and you still might not make it if you aren't also an expert in economics and marketing. And on the topic of marketing, you are leading a grain marketing workshop later this winter. Why do you think marketing skills are one of the more effective tools a farmer can have or train right now?
When we think about how to increase the profitability of businesses, you can make some small changes in the output price sector, and it translates into, you know, quite a bit of profitability back into the operation. And so what we're trying to do here, and I should mention that this is in partnership with the Missouri Corn Merchandising Council, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to help give producers a little bit more flexibility in terms of the output prices they're receiving for their product, and also helping to maintain some of that potential upward possibilities if we do see prices rally from a drought in South America, or, you know, changes in policy that favor U.S. corn in the export market. So we're just trying to help them build options and maintain flexibility within their marketing, because we believe that's a great way to help improve profitability and increase the value of agriculture in Missouri.
Where can corn growers find more information as well as register for that marketing workshop?
We do have a website. We always send people to a website, it seems, in the modern era. But if they go to muextension.us/grainmarketbasics, that'll take you to the registration page. People are also welcome just to call their local extension office here in Missouri and ask their extension folks to help guide them in the correct direction. Or if people want to reach out to me, you're welcome to email me at B as in boy, P as in pig, and then the color brown, BROWN at missouri.edu. We'll get you in the right spot, but really hope to get a lot of Missouri corn producers engaged in this workshop and preparing for, you know, marketing plans of the future.
Ben, anything else you'd like to talk about in terms of this conversation or other opportunities going on at the University of Missouri that you're involved with?
Yeah, I'd say a couple of things. This past month, actually, we rolled out a couple of new products that we think are beneficial to Missouri producers. The first is that we expanded on the farm record book system that has been a part of the University of Missouri for decades. And we made it to where it's an Excel-based template. There's still the historical, you know, old written books to where you can write the transactions within a physical book. But our goal here was just to help increase record keeping capabilities across the state. That was the first resource I wanted to talk about. And then the second resource is we updated our human resource guide. So we have a farm labor guide for Missouri, because we believe that human resources is a next big challenge, or one of the big challenges facing agriculture in the next 5 to 10 years. And so we're trying to get ahead of that. So if you're a producer that's employing people or thinking about employing people, we have that resource available for you as well.
Ben Brown is with the University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
With Missouri Corn Talk, I am your host, David Geiger. Thanks for listening. This podcast was made possible by the Missouri Corn Merchandising Council and the Missouri Corn Growers Association. Learn more about the programs working on your behalf at mocorn.org or on our social channels.